This is session 6 of our audio tutorial, Introducing BookSense XT. Your host for this set of sound illustrated explorations is yours truly, B.T. Kimbrough. Please remember that Introducing BookSense XT is not designed to replace the user's manual, which was supplied along with your unit. What it will do is give you the opportunity to familiarize yourself with the commands and capabilities of the BookSense XT as you listen to what the device actually sounds like in both simple and advanced operations. So far, I have concentrated attention on the portions of the BookSense XT which will deliver the greatest parts of its power for most users. We've looked at basic operations in the menus and file lists and used a systematic approach for memorizing basic functions in the media player, Daisy player, and general purpose or document reader, as the BookSense itself says. In this session, I will give you a quick tour of the FM radio and then wind things up by showing you a few of the more advanced functions, including some handy shortcut keys in the file lists, a bit about setting up for a Bluetooth device, and a quick way to check or delete existing alarms. Now, the reason our tour of the radio is going to be so quick is that one of the worst places in the world to try to demonstrate an FM radio would be sitting beside a computer. And since I'm recording these sessions on a computer, you'll find this is probably just about the worst interference you ever heard for a demonstration of an FM radio. That's not particularly a reflection on the FM radio built into the BookSense. It's just a terrible place to try to get FM reception. I have brought up the radio, and as you can hear, all we're going to hear right now is white noise. There, I'm going to turn it down a little bit so it won't interfere and drive us crazy. The first thing you have to do to use an FM radio like this is attach an antenna to it. Now, there isn't a special antenna terminal. To attach an antenna, you simply plug in a pair of stereo headphones. Now, up to a point, the longer the wire that comes with your headphones, the better antenna. I've heard that the optimum length for an antenna like this is somewhere around 59 inches. You might want to experiment with that. Certainly, 30 inches is long enough to get some stations, and that might be a more comfortable length for your headphone cord. In any case, as I say, you're not going to get much reception inside a building, which is where I'm sitting, next to a computer. There's no point in even trying it there. But outside, in the normal places where FM radio gets good reception, you'll get plenty of stations with the FM radio built into the BookSense. So let's look at the controls. We have the four arrow keys, the menu key, and the number keys. And here quickly is what they do. The left and right arrow take you up and down the FM band by the smallest amount that you can move on FM. And you'll hear a report from the BookSense as you move.
93.6 megahertz.
93.6 megahertz. I'm going to press the right arrow again.
93.7 megahertz.
93.7 megahertz. So the BookSense tells you what frequency you're on. And when you come to a station, it's possible to save that frequency with one of six different presets. And they are governed by the number keys 1 through 6. Now, I've got some presets here because in better conditions, I got lots of stations. Let's see if any of these presets bring in any stations.
Preset 3, 93.9 megahertz.
You might be able to barely hear the signal. It's not coming in very well at all, but there is a little bit of a talk station on my preset number 3. Now, when you're in places where there is good reception, you can press preset 1, and you'll go immediately to that preset. You can do that 1 to 6. To set a preset, you simply hold the button for 2 seconds. Now, if you've already set a preset, and you find a station, and you try to set it at that same preset, BookSense will tell you that preset is already registered. It keeps you from overwriting your preset accidentally. Now, let's look at the rest of the control keys. We've already determined that to go slowly up and down the FM band, you simply press and quickly release the right or left arrow, and that will take you up or down the FM band. If you want to scan for a signal, that's if you're in a place where you can get strong signals, you hold the right arrow or hold the left arrow in for 2 seconds. I'm going to press the right arrow and hold it for 2 seconds, and let's see if we find another signal. Well, we sort of found another signal. Let's try it again.
96.9 megahertz.
Well, this time it didn't find another station. It found a little bit of static and confused that with a station. So scanning for a signal, hold the left arrow down to go lower on the band and hold the right arrow down to go higher on the FM band. Now, there is a way, fortunately, that you can control how sensitive you want BookSense to be when it's scanning for signals. If you don't want it to stop on weak signals, there's a way you can set a sensitivity control, and that's by pressing the number key 7.
Channel scanning sensitivity 1.
Channel scanning sensitivity 1. That is the lowest sensitivity. If you set it for 1, then it will pick up only the strongest stations when you're scanning by holding down the left or right arrow, and it will stop for any station it can find. The higher you set the sensitivity, all the way up to 10 it goes, the higher you set that sensitivity, the weaker the signal threshold will be, and the greater the number of stations you'll pick up in scanning mode. The default for the sensitivity control is number 4, and when you set it to number 4, the BookSense will tell you that by emitting a short beep. Okay, we've met scanning sensitivity, key number 7. Let's see what number 8 does.
Enter the preset's number to delete, edit box.
This is how you delete a preset. Presets can be set 1 to 6. So you would press 8 to delete a preset, and then enter the number that you want to delete, and then press the OK key. We don't want to do that, so let's press cancel, where the star would be on a cell phone.
Cancel.
And let's see what the number 9 key does.
Output to internal speaker disabled.
Output to the speaker disabled. And I think we'll leave that off for the moment. That enables you to have sound coming out the external speaker even though you have a stereo headphone plugged in order to have an antenna for the FM radio. If you press the 9 key again, it would re-enable this external speaker to the BookSense. So the 7, 8, and 9 keys are 7, scanning sensitivity, 8, delete a preset, and 9, enable or disable the BookSense speaker, and that only works in the radio section. That function isn't needed in the other sections, because as soon as you plug in a pair of headphones in the document reader, say, or the media player, the internal speaker is disabled. Then as soon as you take that earphone connector out of the access jack on top of the BookSense, the internal speaker comes back on. Now, we'll let the radio play for just one more second while I show you one more pair of controls that we haven't met yet. The left and right arrows, you recall, go slowly up and down the FM band if you just press them and release them quickly, and they let you scan for a station if you hold them in for 2 seconds. The up and down arrows go through your presets. I'm at preset 3 right now, and I'm going to press the up arrow.
Preset 2, 97.1 megahertz.
Takes me to preset 2, tells me what the frequency is. The station doesn't come in here. I'll press the up arrow one more time.
Preset 1.
Takes me to preset 1, a station's not coming in very well. Now if I press the up arrow again,
preset 3, 93.9 megahertz.
It takes me back to preset 3. In other words, the up and down arrows only scan me through the presets I have set. And since I've only set 1, 2, and 3, those are the only ones that will come up when I use the up and down arrows to explore my presets. Now let's say, for instance, that I press number 4, thinking I'm going to go to preset number 4.
Preset 4, empty.
Preset 4, empty. So it just simply tells me I don't have anything there. You can record from the FM radio just by pressing and holding for about 2 seconds the record key. That's just below the play key on the right side of the unit. The record key is marked by a set of 3 dots. To begin your recording, hold that key in for 2 seconds. To pause, simply press and quickly release the record control. To resume recording, press record again. To end your recording, press the play control. There's just one more thing we need to do before leaving the radio section, and that's look in the menu. So I'm going to press the rectangular menu button near the top of the unit.
Menu opened. Internal speaker setting. Dialog.
That's where you can enable or disable the internal speaker. I'll press the down arrow.
Channel recording setting.
Channel recording setting. This is exactly the same dialog we have in the recording settings menu in the global options. Let's right arrow and go in here.
Channel recording setting dialog. Recording type, MP3, combo box.
Right now I have it set to record in MP3. If I press the right arrow, it would be set for the wave format. Instead, I'm going to press the down arrow and explore the possibilities in terms of sample rate.
Sampling rate, 32,000 Hertz, combo box.
32,000 Hertz, that's really a good setting for radio, and that's the default in the radio section. I'll press the right arrow and see what the other choices are.
44,100 Hertz, 16,000 Hertz, 22,050 Hertz, 24,000 Hertz, 32,000 Hertz.
So there's your range of possible sampling rates, from 16,000 Hertz up to 44,000 Hertz. The higher number you choose, the better quality recording you're going to get. But generally speaking, for radio, the 32,000 Hertz default is a good number. The handy thing is, though, this recording dialogue in the radio section is separate. It doesn't affect anything you do in terms of recording in any of the other sections. So now we're going to close the menu by pressing the cancel key, which is where the star would be if this were a cell phone.
Menu closed.
And there's just one more radio control I want to show you. If you want to shut off the sound temporarily without leaving the radio section, press and release the play control.
Mute.
And that serves as a temporary mute control.
Music, folder, 2 of 5.
Now, rather than being back in the radio, we're in the media player. I want to show you some shortcut keys that will help save a lot of time when you're in a file list. Incidentally, these shortcut keys also work in the Select Playlist menu in the media player, in the Daisy and Document Reader file lists, and in the Marks and Voice Memo lists in the Document Reader. I'm going into my Music folder.
Martin Jones, folder 1 of 1.
And I have a piano album of a lot of French music here played by Martin Jones. And I think the BookSense is probably going to mangle a lot of these names. These are French names, and nobody expects the BookSense to pronounce them correctly. The reason I'm in this album is that there are 39 different cuts here, and we need some help if we're going to get around without having to use the down arrow over and over and over again. We're at the very top here, and it would be neat if I could go straight to the very end. The 3 and 6 keys let you go to the top of an album or to the very bottom. Since I'm at the top, I'm going to press the 6 key.
20 to Little Nigger La Petite Nigger MP3, 39 of 39.
And all of a sudden, I'm at cut 39. Now to get back to the top, I simply press the 3 key.
01 I Let Milenko Leak Into MP3, 1 of 39.
And I'm back to number 1. So the 3 acts as a home or top of folder command, and the 6 key acts as an end or bottom of folder. Now, if you don't want to go all the way to the top or bottom, but you want to move in fairly large leaps, you want to use the 2 and 5 keys. From the top, if I want to go 10 cuts forward, I press the 5 key.
06 Dance MP3, 11 of 39.
So I went from 1 to 11. And now to get back to number 1, I would simply press the 2 key.
01 I Let Milenko Leak Into MP3, 1 of 39.
So to move by increments of 10 files, I use the 2 and the 5 key. 5 takes me 10 files forward, and 2 takes me 10 files back. If I only want to move in steps of 5, I use the 1 and the 4 keys. I'm here at the top of the directory, and I'll press the 4 key.
O3 movement MP3, 6 of 39.
And that takes me to file number 6. I'll press it again.
O6 dance MP3, 11 of 39.
And that takes me down to 11. I went crazy there and pressed it again. I'm down to file 16. I'll press the 1 key now to move back by 5 files.
06 Dance MP3, 11 of 39.
And just to neatly jump to the top, I'll press the 3 key.
01 I Let Milenko Leak Into MP3, 1 of 39.
So there's no reason to overwork your index finger using the up and down arrows in a file list. You have 3 and 6 to go to home and end, 2 and 5 to move back and forth by 10 files at a time, 1 and 4 to move up and down by 5 files at a time. To delete a file, or delete all the files that are selected, you press the 8 key and you'll get a prompt, "Are you sure you want to delete?" Then you would press the OK key if you do want to go ahead with the deletion, and press the cancel or star key if you didn't think that was such a good idea after all. And to complete our review, to select all the files in a directory, or all the folders in a directory, press 7. And to select files or unselect them one at a time, you press the 9 key. Now that brings us to our old friends Action and Information in the bottom row. The cancel key is where the star key would be. That will either back you out of a directory or allow you to change your mind about a deletion. The zero key gives you information about the particular file that's highlighted. Let's see what it says.
01, I let Milenko leak into MP3, 3.70 megabyte.
Well, it read that incomprehensible French title of the file that was highlighted, but also gave me the length of the file. And finally, we come to the OK key, where the pound key would be if this were a cell phone, and that's the most important key of all in the file list. If you press OK on a folder, that adds all of the directories and files in that folder to your playlist. If you press OK on a particular file, the file will begin playing, and you have also added that file to your existing playlist. To save a playlist that you've been working with, you would press and hold the 7 key for 2 seconds. All right, now at the beginning of this session, I promised to show you a way of checking on your alarms. It's terrific to be able to set an alarm and have it reliably alert you or wake you up whether the unit is turned on or not. But you really don't want to wait until the alarm goes off to know whether it's been set or not. And it's helpful to be able to delete that alarm if you change your mind later. Let's go into the menu and find Global Settings.
Menu opened. Equalizer setting. Dialog.
I'm at the top of the media player menu at Equalizer setting, and I'm going to press up arrow to get to the bottom.
Global options, pull down.
Global options, right arrow.
Alarm settings, pull down.
And that takes me into alarm settings. Now I'm going to press the right arrow to open this menu.
Check alarm time, dialog.
Check alarm time. So let's see what I've done here. Right arrow will open this menu.
Check alarm dialog. Current alarm time is 5:30 a.m. once.
So this tells me that I have set an alarm for 5:30 tomorrow morning and that I have set it to go off only once. But what if I now remember that tomorrow's a holiday and I don't need the alarm to go off at 5:30 and I'd like to do something about that? The first thing I do is press OK to close this menu dialog.
Close.
And the next thing I do is get back into Global Settings and find a neat little option called Delete Alarms.
Menu opened. Equalizer setting. Dialog. Global options. Pull down.
The up arrow got me to Global Options. The right arrow gets me inside.
Alarm settings. Pull down. Check alarm time. Dialog.
But now instead of pressing the right arrow there, I'm going to press down arrow.
Set alarm. Dialog. Delete alarm.
Delete alarm. So I'll press the right arrow.
Alarm deleted.
Alarm deleted. Problem solved. So that's a handy feature in the alarm setting that allows you to manage multiple alarms and keep up with what you have already set. The last thing we'll cover in this session is one of the handiest things about the BookSense, but it's not something you need for everyday operation. It's kind of icing on top of the cake. I'm talking about the ability to connect BookSense to wireless Bluetooth headphones. In order to set this up, we have to get into the Global Options menu, so I'll press the rectangular menu button.
Menu opened. Equalizer setting. Dialog.
And now the up arrow will take me quickly into that menu.
Global Options. Pull down. Alarm settings. Pull down. Bluetooth options. Pull down.
I cheated a little bit. I memorized that the Bluetooth option was the 5th one down. Now I'll press the right arrow to get in here.
Turn on Bluetooth.
Now the first thing I have to do is turn on Bluetooth, and as soon as I do with the right arrow, I'm going to be out of the menus.
Bluetooth on.
So now I have to circle back by going back into Global Menus.
Menu opened. Global options. Alarm settings. Reach. Bluetooth options. Pull down.
I'm back at Bluetooth options. I'll press right arrow.
Turn off Bluetooth.
And now I have some other options. I could turn off Bluetooth, but I just turned it on. Why would I want to do that? Let's press the down arrow.
Connect headset. Dialog.
Connect headset. I have already paired a headset. You have to have a headset that's Bluetooth 2.0 or higher. And I have already paired a headset. And if I were to connect it, well, then I would lose the sound and we wouldn't be able to continue this demonstration. So I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'll press the down arrow and see what my other option might be.
Unpaired headset.
Unpair headset. Now, pairing a headset is a bit of a hassle. You only have to do it one time. You have to set the headset to look for another Bluetooth unit, and then usually you have to enter a code number. Often it's 0000. You get that from the manufacturer of the set. And you would enter that on the BookSense numbered keyboard and then press OK. And once that pairing happens, you only have to do that one time. But if you want to use a different Bluetooth headphone unit, then you have to unpair it. Let's say, OK, we want to unpair. I'll press the OK key.
Samsung SBH500 Trusted, 1 of 1.
The BookSense is telling me the name of the unit that I had paired for Bluetooth operation. It's the Samsung SBH500 Bluetooth headphones. Now at that point, if I wanted to use a different unit, I would press OK and unpair the unit. Now if I did that, I would have to go through the pairing process again in order to use that particular pair of headphones. But at that point, I would also be able to use a different Bluetooth headphones if I wanted to. Now in conclusion on Bluetooth operation, I'll make one or two general comments. There's no such thing as a complete list of the Bluetooth headphones that BookSense will operate with. One general guideline is the newer the better. It has to be 2.0 Bluetooth compatible or higher. And it probably needs to be a stereo headphone as opposed to a single ear unit with a microphone, the kind of unit that would be designed primarily for telephone use. If you're setting up a Bluetooth unit with the BookSense, make sure that the headphone unit has been charged so that there's plenty of battery. And make sure that the headphone unit is in the pairing mode so that the BookSense will be able to locate it. Check with the documentation provided along with the headphone unit to find out how to put the unit into pairing mode. Give the BookSense plenty of time to locate your headphone unit the first time. When the pairing is going on, it can take 20 seconds or longer for the BookSense to locate the unit for the first time. Once the BookSense has identified your Bluetooth headphone unit, it may ask you for a code. The documentation that came with the headphone unit may provide the code. If not, there's a pretty good chance that it might be 0000. Once you've entered that code on the BookSense keyboard, press OK. And if everything has gone properly and your stars are all aligned properly on that day, the BookSense and your Bluetooth headphone unit will be bonded, and you should be able to get them reconnected at any time with just a few commands. And that brings us to the end of this series of tutorials introducing BookSense XT. If there is one constant principle I have discovered in working with the BookSense, it would be that practice is the best teacher. Because there are just a few controls and they all have multiple functions, a little bit of practice should make everything clear and easy to remember in just a short time. You can connect the BookSense to a Windows-compatible computer using the supplied USB cable and copy files as if BookSense were one of your computer's disk drives. That would be the simplest way to get files onto your BookSense for the practice and the plain old enjoyment BookSense can give. If you are confused about a particular command or you forget which key to use for a particular function, the user's manual has a very detailed table of contents which should help you quickly look up exactly what you need. It has been my pleasure to serve as your tour guide for this audio companion to the BookSense XT. And now this is B.T. Kimbrough saying so long, and thanks for listening.